Okay, Bezus Hashem, let's begin. Famous Rashi's on Chukas. So the Parsha begins with a discussion of Parah Aduma. Parah Aduma is the classic Chok. The Torah starts, Zos Chukas HaTorah. It's like the Chok of the whole Torah. We're referring to Parah Aduma, but it's the classic Chok, so the Torah says Chukas HaTorah. Rashi says that a chok is something which is hard to explain to the outside world. Ma mitzvah zos, ma tam yeshba. What reason is there for it? And the answer is, gzerihi milafanai. It's a decree. And you have to listen. Parah Aduma is the classic chok. It teaches the lesson that we have to do the mitzvos because Hashem commanded them. Sometimes we might not understand fully, but we have to do the mitzvah anyway. This is very important. It's happening nowadays. People who call themselves Orthodox are questioning mitzvahs left and right. If we believe that the Torah is from Shemayim, and we do believe that, then every mitzvah is perfect. We don't always understand the reasons fully, but the mitzvah is perfect. And this is a lesson we have to absorb. Prerequisite almost for Matan Torah. It's very interesting. Chazal tell us that Bnei Yisrael received certain mitzvos in Mara. And one version of Chazal is Parah Aduma was part of what they received in Mara. That's what it says. Parah Aduma. Now, the Mefarshim point out that we weren't able to fulfill Parah Aduma yet. The Pasuk says in Pedalad, El Nochach Pnei Ol Moed, that the animal is brought opposite the Ohel Moed. Now, that means without the Ohel Moed, you can't do Parah Aduma. And at the time of Mara, we had not received, we didn't have the Mishkan yet. There was no Ohel Moed. So it's interesting. We received a mitzvah that was impossible to keep. We received the mitzvah of Shabbos. That was possible to keep. Kibud Av V'Em. That was possible to keep, but not Parah Aduma. So Rav Kamenetsky, Zatzal, writes in the Emes Liyakov that if you look at the Lashon of Rashi over there, he says, Sheyis Askuba, that they should be involved in it. In other words, they're supposed to learn Parah Aduma. They couldn't keep the mitzvah of Parah Aduma yet, but receiving the mitzvah was part of our Hachanah for Torah. Learn about it, be involved in it. Understand what a chok is. Understand what Kabbalah HaTorah means, that we have to do the mitzvot no matter what, even if we don't understand them. So Parah Aduma became part of our hachana for Matan Torah. Not actually keeping Parah Aduma, but learning about it, studying it, became a fundamental part of our hachana for Matan Torah. Oh. Ra quotes a long drasha here that compares Parah Aduma to the Chet Ha'Egel. Many, many parallels. So one of them is as far. He quotes it from Rav. From Rav Moshe Hadarshan. So one is as follows. Why is a Parah a Parah? Why is Dafka that animal? So Rashi quotes, Mashal leben Shifcha. If a baby makes a mess in the palace, who do you call to clean up the mess? You call the mother. Tavo imo, the mother comes and cleans him up. Kach tavo paru is chapar le'egel. The parah comes and atones for the chet ha'egel. Somehow, the Parah Aduma makes up for the chet ha'egel. So since the chet ha'egel was a bad chet, and the Parah Aduma is supposed to clean up and make up for chet ha'egel, therefore it's a parah. It's like the mother of the ha'egel. That's the Medrash. So of course we have to understand what's the connection between Parah Aduma and Chet Ha'Egel. That's a good question. So the Mefarshim struggle with this. Some say Chazal tell us that it was after Chet Ha'Egel that Hashem was gozer Misa on the world again. We wouldn't have had Misa because we had arrived at the level of Adam Harisha Kodam Achet. And then Chet Ha'Egel brought Misa back into the world, and there's Tumas Meis, and Parah Aduma gives us Tahara from Tumas Meis. So in that sense, the Parah Aduma fixes up Chet Ha'Egel. That's what some of the Mefarshei Rashi say. But the Beis Halevi gives a more fundamental pshat in Parshas Ki Tisa. And he says as follows. According to many Mefarshim, the Kuzari, the Ramban, Chet HaEgel wasn't outright Avodah Zarah. Bnei Yisrael had good intentions. Bnei Yisrael wanted something tangible to focus on in their Avodas Hashem. Moshe was helping them, but they think Moshe's gone now. They wanted something tangible. And Taka, the idea wasn't crazy. The Mishkan later was something tangible. And the ego wasn't so different than the Mishkan. Something tangible to use in Avodas Hashem. Their mistake was Hashem had said not to build an idol. And they were trying to do it their own way without waiting for Hashem's command. So Chet HaEgel becomes following rational human logic against the Tzivui Hashem. That's the root of the Chet. And Paraduma, of course, is the classic Chok. Paraduma is, I do what Hashem says, even if it doesn't make sense to me. So the message of Paraduma is Mechaper, it makes up for the mistaken message which led to Chet HaEgel. Very beautiful, deep shot. The message of Paraduma is Mechaper, it makes up for the mistaken message that led to Chet HaEgel. And that might be a very, very deep shot in the Rashi. Okay, B'zat Hashem, let's discuss some famous Rashis and Parshas Chukas. The Torah relates, Vatamas Shom Miriam, Vatikover Shom, and Miriam died. Rashi says that she died in the same way as Aaron died. Afhi Beneshika Mesa, with a kiss. And Rashi says it's based on it from Chazal, based on Gzeirah Shavah, it's how Aaron died. So how come the Torah doesn't say Al Pi Hashem? Because that's not a respectful way to talk about a lashon of a neshika with a woman. Is not a respectful way, and that's why the Torah hints to it, but it doesn't actually say it. What exactly is this neshika, misa bin neshika? The Gemara says this is considered the most desirable way that a person could die. So the Mefarshim explain, the Gemara compares it to taking a hair out of milk. This comes right out. Mefarshim explain a very deep idea. We have a neshama and a goof. So when a person dies, at Me'av Yashrim, the neshama leaves the goof. So when a person is overly involved in Gashmias, so his neshama gets pulled into the Gashmias, now his neshama is intertwined in the Gashmias, then it's in a sense harder to extract the neshama from the goof. But if a person lives the right way and his neshama is pure and he limits his Gashmias the way it's supposed to be, so his neshama stays much more ruchni, so then it just divides up simply. Because the neshama is ruchni, and the goof is physical, and they're not directly—they're not so intertwined. So it's not so hard for the neshama to leave from the physical goof. It's a very deep idea. We all have to be careful in maintaining the proper balance between ruchnius and gashmius. Oh, okay. Later on, the famous Maisa when Moshe hits the rock in Pasuk Yud Beis. So the Chumash says that because Lo ha'amantem bi lahakdisheni l'nei b'nei Yisrael, therefore they won't come to Eretz Yisrael. So somehow Moshe and Aaron weren't mekadesh shem shemayim properly. Rashi explains, she'ilu dibartem el ha'sel, if you would have spoken to the rock, I would have been sanctified, a big kiddush Hashem. Ma selaze enu medaber venu shomea venu tzarich leparnasa mekayim dibur shel makom Just like this rock that doesn't speak and doesn't hear and doesn't need so fulfills Hashem's word. Certainly I should fulfill Hashem's word. People would have a Kiddush Hashem. People would serve Hashem better. So a lot of Sfarim point out that it was still a nace hitting the rock and the water coming out. And that was also a Kiddush Hashem. That Hashem does miracles for Bnei Yisrael. But it wasn't the same level of Kiddush Hashem. This is an important idea in Rashi. A person should really strive for excellence and really do the best they can. So if a person does a Kiddush Hashem, that's good. But if he could have done it better, that's even better. So Moshe Rabbeinu, on his level, could have done an even greater Kiddush Hashem. And that's why he was punished so severely. We aren't on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the concept applies. The concept that when it comes to Ruchnius, and when it comes to Avodas Hashem, try to do more. That's the message of this Rashi. That a greater Kiddush Hashem is better. Later in the Perek, in Pasuk Kaf Hei, Kaf Vav, the Torah relates the death of Aaron, that his son took over afterwards. And Rashi quotes, Chamad Moshe Leosa Misa. Moshe wanted the same Misa that Aaron had. So Aaron was zocha to a very special way of dying, the way Rashi describes, and his son took over afterwards. That's what Moshe wanted. But in the Chassidish Sharan, they say another pshat, fascinating pshat. It's in the Shar Yisaschar. I heard this from our Baruch Simon Shlita, and I included it in my Sefer on Sukkos. The Torah gives us the date of Aaron's death. It's Rosh Chodesh Av. And when you look on the calendar, so you know we have the Ushpizin on Sukkos. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef. That's the order of the Arizal. So Aaron's the fifth day. So when you look on the calendar, the day of the week of Rosh Chodesh Av is always the same day of the week as the fifth day of Sukkos. In other words, Aaron comes back to our Sukkah on the day of his yahrzeit. He died a certain day of the week, and he comes back on that same day of the week. The message is, the good of us, they're with us, the Gedolim come back, they're always living with us, and their neshamas live on. We live on with their ideals. So it's incredible. So it works out. It works out that Rosh Chodesh Av is always the same day of the week as the fifth day of Sukkos. And the Shari Sassler says, that's what Moshe wanted. Moshe wanted that his yard site should be the same day of the week as his Ushpizin. Now Moshe's Ushpizin is the fourth day of Sukkos, according to the Arizal's order. And if you work it out, Moshe was nifter on Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar is the same day of the week as Purim. And the fourth day of Sukkos is always on the same day of the week as the previous Purim. That's how it works out. So that's a new angle on this Chazal that Rashi's quoting, that Moshe was chomed, Moshe wanted that Misa. It's amazing. It also works out that David HaMelech died on Shavuos, and David's Ushpizin is Hoshana Rabbah, and Hoshana Rabbah is always the same day of the week as Shavuos. So that works out as well. And this is incredible, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, our Masorah has it, was Nifter on Lag Bomer. And the Sfarim say he was a Bechina of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is the one who was Megala. He revealed to the world the secrets of the Torah Sanister. So it's almost like a new Matan Torah. Just like Moshe brought down the Torah, so Shem Baruch also brought down the Torah. And Lag BaOmer is always the same day of the week as Purim. Same Yahrzeit. The fourth day of Sukkot. So it's a very deep connection between Lag BaOmer, Shem Baruch Hai, and Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, let's continue. When Aaron died, the whole nation was in Avelus. The Torah says, Vayifkos Aaron, Shoshim Yom Kol Beis Yisrael. Rashi says, Anashim, Venashim, everyone. Why? Lefi Shaya Aaron, Rodev Shalom, Umatel Ava, Bein Baalei Meriba, Bein Nishu Ishto. He brought peace between people who were fighting, husbands and wives. Very important idea. Person should try to be Rodev Shalom. If you see a situation escalating, your job is to help it de-escalate. A fight's brewing, slow it down, or at least don't be involved. Very important idea. Oif Shalom for Rodev Shalom. Then the Torah relates here, there's a Shira. And the Shira refers to a nace that Rashi quotes, that there was a big nace when Bnei Yisrael were going through Moab, that our enemies, were on both, Amori were on both sides of the valley, and some were on one side and some were in the caves, and Hashem did a miracle that the two sides above the valley merged, and the protrusions on one side filled in the caves on the other side, and they all were killed. All of the Amorim living in the caves were killed. Then the mountains went back to normal, and Bnei Yisrael went through. And Bnei Yisrael went through a big nace. And there was a Shira. So the Shira refers to the Milchamos Hashem, Pasuk in Perikov Aleph, Pasuk Yedalad. B'sefer Milchamos Hashem, Esvohev B'sufa, V'shanecholim Arnon. These words are remazim, they're hints to the miracle that happened to Bnei Yisrael. Milchamos Hashem, Vayev B'sufa. So the Gemara Kiddushin has a drash that says Milchamos Hashem and Vayev B'sufa refers to two Talmidei Chachamim learning Torah. When they learn it's a Milchama, they're fighting, they're arguing. And then at the end, B'sufa at the end, Ahev, they're friendly. It's a Machalkos L'Shem Shemayim. When you're running with a Chavrusa, and you think he has the wrong shot, so you fight it out. You fight it out with words. You argue. Sometimes people raise their voices. And you argue about the pshat. But then at the end, then their friends, Oavim said, this is the Derech of Torah. I teach in the Tziv Aryeh. It's a big schus. We have two Rabbanim there. Rav Darmoni Shlita and Rav Daikan Shlita. Whoa, and they live this Maimer Chazal. They're good friends, and they're Chavrusas for many years, and they argue all the time. You ask them a question, they always say different ideas, they argue, and when they argue, sometimes there's a friendly tug of each other's beards. That's always fun to watch. And then at the end of the argument, they're the best of friends. It's mamish, living this Maimer Chazal. That's the Darko Shel Torah. You fight it out, you try to get to the emes, milchamto shelter, but at the end, you're friendly. My Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita says over a beautiful story, but we know that Yeshiva Smir was mostly saved during the Holocaust by running to the east. They were able to take the train through Russia, through Siberia, and they ended up getting over to Shanghai and then Kobe, Japan. So they spent time on the train. So one of the non-Jews who was on the train wrote a memoir about his life. And he has a chapter about this train ride. He was on the train with these guys from here. He was a non-Jew. And he describes as follows. He says, I saw something very strange. I saw these young men. They would open their big books. And they would yell and scream and argue with each other. Then they would close the books. And they're the best of friends. And I couldn't figure it out. So Rav Shechter, he cries when he tells the story. That's this Maimer Chazal. The boys in Mir were learning. They were arguing over Pshat and the Gemara. The books are open, they're arguing, but they're the best of friends. The books close and they're regular friends again. So this non-Jew, Mesiach Fitumo, just testifying what he saw in a neutral way, he saw the boys in Mir being Mekayim beautifully, this Maimer Chazal. Okay, at the end of the parsha, there's a pasuk and a famous Rashi, which Rav Nevensaul talks about. It's very important. In Maftir, Hashem says to Moshe about Og, Al Tira Oso, don't be afraid of Og. Now, Hashem didn't tell Moshe not to be afraid of Sichon. Why did Hashem tell Moshe not to be afraid of Og? Obviously, Moshe was afraid of Og. And Hashem was saying, don't be afraid of Og. So why was Moshe originally concerned about Og? So Rashi says, because Og had a zchus. Shema tamod lo zchuso shal Avram. What was the zchus? Vayavo hapolit. When Lot was taken captive, so Og, it says the polit, the fugitive came to tell Avram, hey, your nephew's taken captive. And that was a chesed. Because then Avram went and he saved Lot. So since Og did this chesed for Avram Avinu, to tell him about his nephew being in danger, and then Avram went and saved him, so Lot had his chus. And therefore Moshe was afraid. You see, it's interesting, the Kriyakar points out, Moshe wasn't afraid of Og's army, he was only afraid of Og. That's why the pasuk is very precise. It says, Al Tira Oso, him. Not Osam, not the army. He was afraid of him. He was afraid of Lot. He was afraid of Og. Now this is incredible. First of all, Og's alleged mitzvah wasn't such a big mitzvah. We would have called it an Avera. Rashi tells us over there in Parshas Lech Lecha, why did Og tell Avram Lot was in danger? Because Og was hoping that Avram would go to war and Avram would be killed and Og would then take Sarah after Avram died. So Og did this quote unquote act of chesed for the very worst possible reasons. We call that an Avera. But still, Lemaisa, there was a chesed angle. So Chazal called it a mitzvah. And that's chus Moshe was afraid of. And Rav Nevensaul goes further. Og had received a lot of zechus already. He's been alive hundreds of years. From the time of Avram till now, it's many hundreds of years, and he's the king of a kingdom. He has an empire. Og's been receiving plenty of reward. So you have this, we call it a non-mitzvah mitzvah, and he's received tremendous reward, and Moshe has his own zechuyos, and still Moshe's afraid. Incredible. So what's the message for us, Rav Nevensaul says? The message is, Rav Nevensaul says, we have to appreciate the zechus of even one mitzvah. And if Og deserved that much schar, and Moshe was afraid for this non-mitzvah mitzvah, then kal v'chomer, what we can achieve with a real good mitzvah. And we should wake up and appreciate the value of a mitzvah, the value of one amen, the value of bruch baruch shemo, the value of any mitzvah that we do is tremendous. Hashem gives you schar for everything. Very important Rashi. I just saw recently Reb Nemetzel has a similar angle regarding Haman. And this, Bez Hashem, I'll be putting into the new edition of my Purim book. The Chassam Sofer quotes that Chazal say that Haman gave the 10,000 kikar kesef to tzedakah. That's what it says. He gave it to the anim. And the Chassam Sofer explains why Haman did that. So Nevin Saul says, it's interesting. Chazal tell us that mibnei banav shel Haman lamdu Torah b'bnei Brak. It's a Gemara in Gittin. That Haman's descendants learned Torah in b'nei Brak. And it's interesting, there's one girsa that it was Rabbi Akiva. Wow. So Haman had some sort of zchus that his descendants learned Torah in b'nei Brak. What was his zchus? Rabbi Nevin Saul says, this was the zchus that he gave the money to tzedakah. Now Haman was a Rosh HaGamor. Haman's in Gehenna. He's getting punished. And he gave the 10,000 kikar kesef for literally the worst possible reason one can imagine. Bribing Achashverosh to murder the whole Jewish people. And yet, since in the end, for his own reasons, for his own lowly shmar reasons, he gave the money to tzedakah, he has a zchus. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was a Gabbai tzedakah. So Rabbi Nevin Saul says that if you assume that Rabbi Akiva was Haman's descendant, maybe this is the pshat. Since Haman's zechus, quote unquote, came from tzedakah, maybe that's why his descendant ended up being a Gabbai tzedakah as well. It's an incredible idea. Hashem gives schar for everything. Even the worst possible mitzvah, you get schar for. Sekal v'chomer, good tzedakah. We get a lot of schar for, we should all give more tzedakah. It's an amazing idea from Rav Nevinson. That Haman, in a sense, was a Baal tzedakah and received schar for that. Okay, we'll stop here.